Hillman on cliffcentral.com.
Right then, let's head on off a couple of kilometers away from Johannesburg to NYC, where JD Durkin is on standby as columnist and senior editor for Media i8 for today's America Report. JD, how's it going?
I'm good, my man. I gotta say, whenever I do this show, one of my favorite parts is you guys play the best music when I'm on hold before coming on. So that Justin Timberlake song, I still love it. I know it's not the newest song, but I dig it. So I always appreciate that. So thank you.
Yeah, when it first came out, I was like, I don't know about this Pharrell Williams happy knockoff. And then it kind of grew on me. And now I like it months later.
I'm the same way. I first heard it, I was like, not so much. And it comes on and... absolutely, I do love it. So, but yeah, things are well here in New York. It's pretty muggy. It's pretty much the middle of our summer, so the weather is not all that appealing here. But we're doing well.
Well, it doesn't seem to stop people playing Pokemon Go all around your city, so it can't be that bad, sir.
That's true. Yeah, it's everywhere you look. People are chasing invisible pocket monsters on their iPhones.
Lucky though, there is really great stuff to do indoors in the midst of weather that may be somewhat dodgy, such as the Olympics. One can just sit in front of a television and vegetate and feel depressed and feel impressed at the same time and not be sure why you're feeling two emotions. Depressed because you're like, what have I done with my life? And impressed by what other people have done with their lives. But certainly Olympic fever, although there was all that clog in the beginning, seems to be sweeping the world right now.
It's been going better than people anticipated. You're exactly right. There were so many issues going in and people said, my God, Rio de Janeiro is disastrously unprepared for these Olympics. There is a thing. Did you come across that one of the swimming pools has turned green?
Yeah,
and they haven't still fixed it? For some reason, when I saw that, I said, yeah, of course. Of course that's going to happen to this Olympics. But otherwise... yeah, it looks like they've managed to keep people safe so far. I know we're not even a week into it, but so far so good. Now, is the mania around it huge in South Africa as well? Because here you're exactly right. People are just sitting in front of the TV basically all afternoon.
Well, look, I think that the one thing that would probably make it a little different is that if you sit in front of the TV watching the Olympics in the States, there's a good chance you're going to consistently see a lot of American participants. Whereas in South Africa, we've got events that we really rally behind, like the swimming, which we're going to touch on in a second, and the rowing, where we know that we've got people partaking. So we've got a handful of Olympic athletes who we think are going to achieve amazing stuff versus, I guess, in America where there's a lot more sort of people playing and representing the country. So we sort of gear up and gear down based on the different events. But certainly, it's everyone's TV is turned on to the 24/7 Olympics channel just to see and marvel at what the human being can do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you're exactly right about the depressed part, especially with gymnastics, because and some swimmers too. I mean, there are 15-year-olds, 19-year-olds, and they are astoundingly incredible athletes. And I mean, they're just physiques alone. Some of these guys are just in far better shape than I will ever be. you're right, though. At the same time, it's kind of cool to look at and be like, oh, wow, human beings are capable of incredible things. We have this one girl here from the United States. I think she's from Texas. This girl, Simone Biles, who's a gymnast, and she's taking the country by storm right now because they say, I know nothing about gymnastics, I'll be honest, but they really say she can just do things that other, even Olympic gymnasts won't even attempt. And so you see that and you're like, wow, this girl's 19 years old and she's already basically a living legend. It is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think there was a tweet from Bill Murray that gave a beautiful take on the Olympics, saying that in every event there should be one average person just so that we can truly grasp how unbelievable what these people do is. It would be great to see, you know, an average person kind of do a little bit of gymnastics there just to show up the amount of effort. I mean, it's a lot. These people commit their lives to this. This is... you know, you go to work every day and you hang out there at Media. These people wake up in the morning, they eat, sleep, and breathe, something that happens every 4 years. It's like such a make it or break it. And the magic of the moment is also something that's fascinating me at the moment, because you get one chance to take those 4 years of prep and hope that it's just going to work in that split second, which is, I mean, there's a magic in that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right. I have been surprised with how... small the time window is for some of these events. Like, I'm a big basketball fan, so USA basketball is huge. I watch all the men's basketball games. And when you go into it, they're playing a tournament, so they've got at least four or five games to play. But some of these events, you're exactly right, it's like 30 seconds, and then that's it. You're exactly right, Kel. It's like, oh, I trained every day for 4 years and for like what will hopefully be the perfect 30 seconds. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the time, and you appreciate that sacrifice, and you see the competitors. And it's not just for the United States. I mean, all around the world, to see them kind of all come together. It is very cool. And I'll be honest, especially with some of the disastrous headlines we've had around the world this year in 2016, I think it's really, this is coming at a good time, and hopefully we'll continue to have another few healthy weeks of good headlines that give the world a little bit of hope as we head into the fall here.
Absolutely. There is a handful of people, though, that seem to just get the moment right every moment. I mean, you look at a guy like Michael Phelps, who's now won his 21st medal. It's just, I mean, what do you think they gave him for breakfast as a kid? Like, how did this happen? What is this?
One of the things that's funny, you know, when you watch the Olympics now, and it's, they have all these flashbacks and they show all these videos of them as a kid. They say he really struggled a lot. And this was a guy who struggled with his personality, and he struggled with, some like social disorders and ADHD. And a lot of those things that can seem debilitating or can seem like they're disadvantages are wild advantages in other areas. And so they say, look, this was a guy who had so many personal struggles as a kid growing up, and he found that kind of refuge in the pool and by devoting himself to that. So I don't know. Maybe it's just Wheaties for breakfast or Raisin Bran for breakfast every day. I have no idea. But this was an Olympics he said he wasn't even going to compete in. He said London in 2012 would be it. He's 31 now, which is not old, but when you're an athlete, I guess that's considered old. But it is, it's pretty wild though. And he seems to be in better shape now than he's ever been.
It's unbelievable. Of course, he had that epic stare down with Chad Leclerc, who we're upset that Chad didn't do as good as we thought he was going to do. He still won silver for something, but I think he still has a little bit to do, but we were obviously upset about that. But it's amazing. Like, for me, what's been funny is to see the different aspects of the Olympics that have become or gone viral. So you've got Michael Phelps in the stare down. You've got that green pool that you spoke about a little earlier on. Then I was just checking out on Facebook. There's these two guys that have been at the Olympics, and in every opportunity they can, they've been dabbing. And they now have put together a video of themselves dabbing. There's Matthew McConaughey, who's like apparently just supporting everybody and cheering everybody on. It's like, it's just interesting to see like the little idiosyncrasies that the world picks up on and magnifies, almost like they would with a cat video.
Absolutely. We had one. The thing is that being here in New York and here in the United States, I don't know what is going viral like in other parts of the world. But we had... There's a huge one this week. There's a young swimmer. Her name is Lily King, and I think she's another one of these like 19-year-old phenoms. And cameras happened to catch her, I believe, on Sunday night, just kind of like in the backstage area, wagging her finger. And I don't know if you saw this, but there was a nearby television that was showing a Russian athlete who's been found guilty of doping, of performance-enhancing drugs. And a lot of people said this young Russian girl should not have been allowed to compete. And cameras captured this American Lily King shaking, you know, wagging her finger in disapproval. And it blew up, and it started this 48-hour feud between the two of them. And Lily King won. She won the gold medal. She beat this kind of Russian nemesis. And she was pretty open about it. She said, look, you know, we feel like we can come here and compete clean, and we can win the clean way, whereas the Russian athletes really have a lot of heavy accusations lobbied against them that are pretty tough for them to shake. So you're exactly right. It's like these weird little things. Or did you watch any of the opening ceremonies last Friday by chance?
Yeah. It was great.
So there was like the dude from Tonga who was all oiled up, and like the internet absolutely lost it when this guy came out. So you're exactly right. It's like these weird little social moments that the whole world gravitates to. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. I mean, the Olympics, you know, traditionally we think of Greece and everything like that. But the way that the world has evolved and the way that the social media has just connected all of us, these are things that never would have been magnified before. It's only because now we've got somebody who can pick it up and put it in a BuzzFeed style, that we find these things funny. I love it. Yeah, that's the pros of social media, is that it does things like that. All right, let's shift gears, speak about a guy that is his own BuzzFeed article, even though he doesn't come across in his own mind as a BuzzFeed article. But it is good to see that Donald Trump has had some rough weeks over the past few weeks. What's been going on? Is he disintegrating? What's happening?
It really looks like the man is just imploding. I mean, he cannot. I wrote that he basically needs a fully devoted team of emergency responders just to take his foot out of his mouth every hour of the day. Basically, we had the nominating conventions, which are these huge events here in the United States. And I was down in Philadelphia. Actually, I covered it in person for the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. That's where. Sorry?
That's really cool. I mean, the closest I've come to seeing that is what I see on CNN and then House of Cards, the DNC
title. Oh, yeah, exactly.
I can't believe you were there. That's so cool.
It was wild, man. It was truly once in a lifetime for me. So I was down in Philly. So that's the formal week-long kind of celebration where Hillary Clinton formally accepts the party's nomination. And all week, it's packed with speakers. And the coolest part for me was honestly seeing President Barack Obama speak. I've never heard him speak in person. And it's basically like an entire hockey arena or a huge basketball arena packed with people. And he was just electric. And Joe Biden spoke, and they really had some really impactful people. But since that, pretty much starting that week from then, that's now about two to three weeks ago to now, Donald Trump has just tripped over himself time and time again. And it's funny. I mean, there's this long-running conspiracy theory that in no way this guy wants to be president. And he got tripped up, and he basically turned this into a reality TV show. And now he got caught up in it, and he's kind of stuck because he continues to say some really, really stupid things. And it's taken a hit in the polls. You're exactly right. They release national polls every few days now, and Hillary Clinton's lead is growing exponentially. And once you get to double digits, once you get to 10 points or more, that's really seen as a very substantive divide between candidates. And every national poll is indicating Hillary Clinton now is somewhere between 10 to 13 points ahead. So look, we still have time. It's only August. Obviously, the election is in November. They still have to get on a debate stage. But there's been nothing to indicate that Donald Trump is even taking this seriously right now. So it's definitely unlike anything we've seen in American politics.
Yeah, I mean, Hillary's just never really, and we've discussed this before, she's never really done it for me. But I mean, you know, in the context of having him as the opponent, it should really just be a bit of a home stretch now. You kind of just have to keep a little bit above board and hope that people come to the realization about the reality of what Trump is saying. Which is now becoming, I think, a little bit more apparent, or at least it is to me. She can't settle, though. I mean, is she saying anything that's really resonating, do you think? Like, what is she doing really great at the moment, Hillary? Let's speak about her for a second.
Yeah, no, let's be honest. And the fact is, she's not. And she, on her own right, is a very unimpressive candidate. I know we think of the Clintons as this huge global force, but the fact is, she's a very gaffe-prone candidate herself. And it's not that she says a lot of things that come back to haunt her. Every once in a while, she'll misspeak in an interview. But it's really all these revelations about, you know, she's had this email scandal that has just been plaguing her now since she started her campaign. And we're seeing that again now. It's like every few weeks, more exposed emails get leaked. So, of course, you know, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks is now back front page news here in the United States because Julian Assange has kind of taken it on himself to expose a lot of the fraud behind what he sees as being Hillary Clinton's candidacy and the Democratic Party. He's not aligning himself with Donald Trump. I don't think he wants to see Donald Trump be president, but in the spirit of typical WikiLeaks style transparency, she's really taken a hit. So there's really not a lot that she's doing. I think if she were running against a more normal Republican candidate, and there were others during the campaign who were viable candidates to challenge her, all we would be talking about is, oh my God, she is stumbling and she can't help herself. But the fact is, she's running against this guy who many people are just think like he's a walking dumpster fire, and he's just creating problem after problem. So I think most people think, like, look, she will win, but she's going to kind of win the election despite the fact that she has so many flaws and so many issues to get over herself.
Yeah, it's like a win by default. It's like choosing the best of the lesser of the two evils. Just before we move on from the story, though, I mean, come on, just take me a little bit more inside that to DNC. Is it really like what I saw in House of Cards? Like, is it just crazy?
It is absolutely insane. It really is. I mean, it's basically delegates come from all over the country, and they're the official people who kind of formally weigh in on it. And it's an entire week of how do I even describe it? It's like, it's a lot of like rah-rah cheerleader style, and every speaker is there either to, so for the one I was at specifically, prop up Hillary Clinton's candidacy, and or be there and just dump all over Donald Trump and why he's the absolute worst. And of course, the last night, these, you know, tens of thousands of balloons fall, and it's a media circus, and the world media is there. Look, man, when I was there, I met journalists and reporters who were all over the world covering it, and it was truly historic because she's the first major party nominee to be a female.
Yeah.
And as much as we consider ourselves a very progressive society here in America, the fact is we've never had that in our young history. So it's a ton of it far exceeded any expectations that I had for it. And it was absolutely awesome. But it's the type of thing, man, I'll be honest, you when that week is done, you are so ready to get home, and I think I slept for about three straight days because it drives you into the ground, and you know that the cameras are on you. And myself, I do a lot of on-camera work, so it's a lot. And it was about 100-degree heat in Philadelphia, too, for the week. So there I was. I'm in, like, nice three-piece suits because I'm doing television interviews, and I'm trying to write and cover content, and meanwhile, I'm carrying bags all over Philadelphia, sweating through everything. And it's basically the collective journalists of the world were there sweating profusely for 4 days while we were trying to be on camera and really talk about the historic aspect of what we were there to do. So it really was absolutely awesome. And like, I can't overstate how cool it was, though, to see President Obama speak in person, because that really was the best part of the week, I think. People were far more excited to hear him speak than they were Hillary Clinton. That's definitely a reality.
Yeah, I mean, he's just knocked this whole legacy thing out the park. He really, really has. All right, let's wrap it up with this. John Oliver, big fan of John Oliver, and Last Week Tonight on HBO. And I haven't watched the whole clip yet. I've seen snippets of it because it's going viral. But he decided to take a break from talking about Donald Trump, or Trumpf, as he likes to call him, and speak rather about what's happening with print journalism. In a nutshell, what went down?
Yeah, he does, you know, kind of what we call like a deep dive on every episode. He'll spend 15 to 20 minutes on one subject, and he'll go so much deeper beneath the surface than other late night comedians do. And yeah, he chose to look at the declining nature of print and basically say, look, the history of American media has been, like, what has gotten us so far has been the amazing work of journalists and reporters and researchers who've written for paper. Publications. And now, like you were saying before, hey, now we're in this BuzzFeed culture where things need to be shareable and clickable, and things need to go viral, and the emphasis is on a cute, catchy, or kitschy headline, something that needs to be clicked and shared. And so there's really a pretty disastrous industry-wide sacrifice on the real values of old-school journalism in favor of, well, we need to get readers to the site. We need to promote website traffic. And look, we all know that's a part of it. I'm sure you do it as a host for your own show. You have your PR guys and girls, and they want your product to go out to as many people as possible. But he really did a pretty outstanding job. And of course, he's always incredibly funny. And it's really raised a lot of eyebrows here. And so it's been a hot topic of conversation this week. And it is a very sad state. Have you seen the movie Spotlight by chance?
No.
I believe it won the Oscar this year for Best Picture, but it basically depicts the Boston Globe staff of several years ago uncovering the Catholic Church abuse scandals here in the United States, where priests were basically abusing young children. And essentially getting away with it. And so it's a really amazing story about the power of old school print journalism. Huh. And so John Oliver aired a very funny sketch where they basically reimagined Spotlight now in the BuzzFeed culture, where they sacrifice, you know, the real values of what it means to tell a really good, important story in favor of just kind of the nonsense of basic website traffic and search engine optimization. So it's, you know, look, when a guy like John Oliver tackles a subject like that and he does it so well, it gets the conversation going again. And it, I think, it causes a lot of people to stop and say, all right, we are heading down a path. It's not the best way to go. What do we have to do to right the ship as an industry? So we are putting an emphasis back on substance as opposed to getting clicks to our website.
John Oliver has the greatest research team in television, without a doubt. The stuff they drag up and the stuff that he puts on air and the way he connects it. I mean, he's got one of the top teams putting that show together. Very impressive. All right.
He absolutely does. Yep.
That there is the America Report. JD, thank you very, very much.
Of course. Thank you, dude. Thanks for having me.
I'm so sad that we didn't get to touch on base on the CEO of Fox News and all these sexual harassment allegations, but people can Google and see that about Fox News. It's not necessarily surprising coming out of Fox News, but that's a story for another day. JD Durkin, thank you very much. JD Durkin is a columnist and senior editor for Media IH. You can look him up on these Twitter streets. Thank you very much. Live from NYC, that's JD Durkin.
Thanks, Bob.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
Kelman on CliffCentral.com.